in his deep voice and humming hours. The Mishashabas Mishas Yontif, his daughter, the Sima Shri, Mishas 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 which gradually faded away, or shall I say, which gradually was transposed into another melody, but a melody of silence. You know, Hasidim say that there are the most beautiful melody is the silent melody. Isn't Baruch HaNafshi, Baruch HaNishem, a silent melody? As a child, I used to brood for hours over Amadil bin Kiddush Mekiddush. I was fascinated by that phrase, Kiddush Mekiddush. I could understand the Kiddush Mekiddush, but the Kiddush Mekiddush took dishes. One Shabbos, the other one Yontif. I liked both. I cherished every spark of Kiddush or Yontif. I hated the everydayness, the gray routine, the work and the work at the rhythm of weakness of my life. I would never doubt that the Chassid soon had a long walk on the dust.
Very much and experience.
Without them, I would have missed the ecstasy accompanying the religious observance, and the depth, I would have missed the depth and the sweep of religious meditation and thinking. When I grew up, I began to inquire what actually. There are friends you tell me now there is no coherence between the two lines. I mean, there is no. You cannot speak about comparison. But somehow when I grew up, I began to inquire what actually unites the two lines. What unites them? What do the two lines have in common? And certainly I have the question, it's quite a natural question, what separates them? Many will sarcastically smile at the two naive questions. What unites them? They will say, what unites them actually? Unites of Jennifer and the unites of the Savior and the our Swedish question. No question might appear to be none. Might be nonsensical. But I don't believe it's nonsensical. Quite a serious question. What's the right then? What's the right then? One can have something in common, namely Kedusha Sayyid. The charismatic character of both, not the charisma, the unique quality of both, right? What separates them? Also a foolish question. Something separates them. I would say, you know what separates them? The meal. I'm not joking. I'm serious about it. The observance of the Seder night, the observance of the Seder, since the first night of the Exodus in Egypt, which motion self-participators. Centered about the meal. And the Seder night, eating is mandatory, and the whole ceremonial is integrated into the frame of reference of a meal, of a Seder. Yom Kippur is centered not about the absence of the meal. And the whole ceremonial, the whole celebration of Yom Kippur is integrated into a fasting experience, into the experience of a famine, of a fasting day. It is just the opposite. As a matter of fact, these two answers, I wonder why. What unites the Seder night and Yom Kippur? What separates them, of course, the meal? What is the meal? The strange meal. The Jewish nation was born. Actually, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation was born on the night of Exodus. While they were engaged, partaking of the meal. The Jewish people are redeemed while they are engaged in a tardis, in fact, in abstaining from the meal. Let us repeat the first question. As well as the answer. What unites the two lights? Of course, Kedusha Sayyid, not our lights. The charisma of those two lights. The night of the Exodus, the night of the Jesus Mitzrayim, and that night, the people, every Jew, met God, the Almighty. the elephant in the wood with him, made his acquaintance for the first time in their history. As a matter of fact, it was not the first time in their history. It was at the beginning of it. It was the first night of Jewish history in general. You see, and few years surprised, the people who were, what do I say, formed a clan, a family, that Yaakov, the house of Jacob, a family, a clan, a tribe, but not a people, but not a nation. And the nation, the people were fashioned and molded in the nationhood in the tribe, by the end of the tribe of Ahishom, the gay body. And actually, when did Jewish history begin? On the night of the Exodus. Jewish history began with the meal. And Jewish history began with a meeting between the Almighty and the people. They met him for the first time. Vomarti, Salala, Zemer, Tintraim, and even the mother who is saying, you said, I've got it already, but they pay attention to
Gracias. Let's not. Well, Carol, I spoke about it last Saturday night. There are no neutral factors in human living in which the Lacha is not interested. The Lacha is an expansion. It is interested in every aspect of human life. And since the meal is indispensable for the sustenance of man as an organism, the Alaha consequently was interested in the meal. Was curious to find out what does it mean. What does it mean in man eats? It's a simple word, though. But Alaha had a strange inquisitiveness about it. What does it mean? A root lies a problem which ascends the mind of our
coming to the people and that's the noise you have. Israel are the whose means thou art come to this end. Israel. Look, let us ask what we celebrated, the festival of Shavuot, or the story of Shavuot. It's not a congregation, not a republic in Israel, but an entire bunch of people. The Holocaust are very little meaning that they are alive or they came. Everyone has the dead Yaakov, as well as his name Israel, he was subjected to the ritual of Eros, the immortal rites of the Holocaust. Not there, we have no fear of the Eros of Christ. And the and in the book, we are reading about another director of the Catholic director of the North, namely, the Martin is reading about Peter Miller. But the book, we are reading about
not only does he have to accept guilt,
If you ask me which person, right, to see that,
και μόνο συνήθεια είναι πάνω σκόβα που είχε το σκληρό σκληρό. Δεν θα είχαμε κάτι το πόδι σαν I believe the last person is responsible for the fact. The Marcelo has taken in the scholar food into the kennel. You always know that. And the whole story of food, who was recalled. I believe it's too simple, the last person in the but the kennel. Schmei Ewe, Uab in Bishai, Abidot, all this is correct, the child born, the newborn, and the divorce. Who is the father of Bishai? He is the father of Ewe. And the last few words, who bailed Ewe the Ewe, was the God of Ewe.
Dark spaces, interstellar dark spaces, and that's when
τα πάντα τα λέξη τριούνε μας αλλά αν τσούζει ο έφτω θα τα μαμάχα σκήνει με και υπαρήσει και τα κοινή καλά την γεύγη ο Χάκιν θα με υπαρήσει και με καλέ η σαφή μαριόρ θέσαι από όλοι τύπους όλοι έρθει τη μάχη. The last few words were addressed to people they should not expect Almighty to forsake the world. For their sake, of course, there will be a special relationship established between God and each people. However, the relationship is a universal cosmic relationship to the world who will not be the same. This unique new relationship will not replace the universal relationship between God and the universe. Actually, God is wanting to talk to another thing. Well, let's explore it. There I go. Did you want to be with you? Of course, as I'll say, tomorrow is one of those comments. Yeah, looking in. God is a rock, I shall see the Lord. we have been charged with a greater task, not only to teach the world the seven commandments, which are universal, but also as regards the total outlook of life, the whole moral system to which the Jews has committed themselves. The non-Jewish world is supposed. What's the mitzvah that the interrupter? What's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? Yeah, there's a certain one tonight. Well, but Kiddush Hashem. Hashem means that the Jew who is excellent should reflect credit upon the community. It means that the Jew, in order to act like a Jew, in accordance with the Torah, should command respect of the non-Jew. This is the meaning of what the Chinuah Shemuel says. When the Jew is not commanded to respect, he is the name of the community. And by dedicating the name of the community, the non-Jewish world is supposed to watch the Jew, to be impressed by it and to admire our way of living, our customs of life, our mishpatim of looking. The Jew must stand out in society as a great being, not as a strong being, as a successful being, as a great being. His way of life must impress society, attract people, and fascinate their curiosity. The Jew must always bear witness to his continual initial relationship to God. In other words, I'm using here a word which I would like to leave out, but I have no choice, I have no option. The Jew has a mission. One mission does not impress us very much. You know why? Because Reform Judaism, liberal Judaism, started out with this philosophy of the Jew being the representative of God, and we have a mission to the world, to teach the world to morality. You know, this is what the father of Jewish liberalism, like Herman Goy, what on this, in Geiger, or in Zoom. I mean, all the white men in Berlin, in Germany, Russia, and they preach the philosophy of mission. And we Jews, and we often Jews, always laugh. We are not yet fulfilled our duty vis-à-vis ourselves. Particularly if you speak about the mission of the non-Jewish world. But there's nothing to go back to. This is not correct. The idea of mission is a correct one. I'll show you the literature speaks about it. What is wrong with the mission of liberal Judaism is the method and way to utilize this mission. Judaism, Moses tells us, Rei Lemanti Esam Chukim Mishpotim, Kasha Sivani Arishem Revoi, Ushmartem Vazisem, Ki Chokmatchem Uvilatchem Rei Lerani, Asha Nishmu Nesfora Chukim Rei, Isn't it the mission? Observe the fall and do them with dispatches to the world, for this is your wisdom and your understanding to the fight of the people, that when they hear, all these statues shall say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding. This principle that I told you before underlines the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and the negative commandments of Chilul Hashem. There is one thing in this category, between the mission.
traditional view. Of traditional Judaism and one of liberal Judaism. And this discrepancy that is responsible for the failure of the foreign Judaism. The latter liberal Judaism interpreted, they call this all agonism. All agonism. The beacon of light to all nations, yes. The matter of fact, Lafay is the secular business for obviously that all my belief. The state of Israel has become a beacon of light for all nations to follow. It hasn't become it yet. What did this liberal, what did liberal Judaism understand by all my belief? How? They thought that all my belief can be achieved with vision. Again, in terms of philosophical teaching, limited to the morality aspect of God. First of all, they have studied into ritual and morality. The ritual was completely limited, cut up. The Jew himself is not interested according to them in the ritual. There's no need for the Jew to tell the boy about such rituals as the Shabbat. So far, the ritual was already, the mission of the Jews is related to what to morality. So they Torah morality. Yes. But either Torah morality, how can it be? Take down to the boy out by writing the book and publishing the book about it. They are the ones who organize, or invented the whole idea. This is Shabbos Judaism, correct? So they call it new prophecies for Judaism. They can write a subject which is being taught at all universities in America. The more the deeper, the more the students know. Freedom. The union, the diagram, the character of the teacher. Actually, you can get excited by the prospect of traditional Judaism. Leading that to this. That's all. What they wanted is to organize the event of the scientific method of which you have prepared. In the field of the data, the public books on the paper. And so the goal is not to so much be so impressed by the new ideas and the philosophy and the morality that they'll finally accept more or less the form today. But the distance is not too far, and so they'll come closer to Judaism. In a word, focus is always the means by which the Jew will show off that he is the Amhon and the Chochom, the beacon of light for all people. Our idea of all Agoyim, first of all, we don't believe that through the publication of books and Jewish morality in the Talmud, however, that's one way of spreading light to someone else. They've done more harm to their books than good. Not by publication of books on philosophy and ethics. No matter how brilliant a thought expressed in the books might prove to be, we will not bring the world closer to God. People are not attracted by abstract morality. However beautifully formulated. Traditional Judaism, as I said before, subscribes to the Elohim philosophy, provided we are ready to do the teaching by example. Not by mouth, but by example. We live a committed, faithful life,
not only in the area of morality, but in the area of the ritual as well. The same relies weakening respect and admiration of non-Jewish world. The role against theory is nurtured by the Jewish faith in the human being. The latter the Habus maintains was created in the image of God, and as such is very core, is very substance, is good. There is in man a deep-rooted longing for God, they believe, in everyone, because he was created in the image of God. Therefore, the others predict, and the others are very optimistic about it, that at some period in the future, no matter how far, we don't know that. At some point in the future, mankind will come close to God and embrace God. Not only close to God, embrace our faith, and join the covenantal community, committed to the service of God. They have to close to you take the mouth of Hashem and Kippur. This is the vision. Your Shem is the effort. Last Shem of the Lord Shalem. The universal organization of mankind is a tenet of the In short, now the question is, to whom was the Torah given? When it can reply to the previous question, to whom was the Torah given? We may say, what was the Christian answer? Directly to the Jew. Directly. Indirectly to everybody. It is required of the Jew, and when the Torah was given to the Jews, it was required of him not to hide the Torah, that he popularized its content, spread, disseminate knowledge, expose the Torah, or dignify the Torah, to the view of opening. By so doing, we will contribute to the realization of the messianic vision. Oh, Nefe, let's call our name, Sopha, Lord. Oh, Nochen, ye, Abbey, Hashem, the voice, and the voice. Oh, the way of Hashem, the better for followers, I can quote many, count many sukkim. The name of the Hashem, the Lord, the Shmei, the Lord. In fact, the messianic and scatological vision of the Jews is nurtured by the hope that at the end of days, the Torah will become the possession and the heritage of every human being. Redemption of the world is tightly knit with our belief in the final cosmicization of the world. It may take a very long time. It may take a short time. But sooner or later, it will come. So now, what is important? Martin Taylor initiated, not only Martin Taylor is responsible for a people, for a Jewish people, in signing a covenant with the Almighty, but Martin Taylor initiated the messianic process of forgiving the world from its goodness and morality. And Mark, if you ask me, when did the vision of the messianic vision, the vision of the eschatology, of Ayim HaUliya Hashem HaKodesh Be'erho, when did it emerge? Not there. And that's what the Almighty said.
You will hearken to my voice, which father is this, and you will read in accordance with the covenant. And he shall be full of the power of him, and be a precious treasure from all people. That is the end of my life, and you will follow the kingdom of peace and all the nation. For what purpose? For what purpose? Not only just a name. Not only do I want you to be a man of your English, but I give you to be the Lord. And your job and your prayer and your country is to bring the world to what is to be, what is global. And this is the Messianic vision. So man did initiate the Messianic practice of redeeming the world from its wounds and profanity. The Torah was given to the Jew. The latter, however, was told to disseminate the word of God among the pagans, among atheists, among agnostics, and to bring them closer to the Almighty. Of course, so actually, Martin Taylor was a double experience. On the one hand, Martin Taylor was a private, what shall I say, covenant between the Jew and the Almighty. On the other hand, Martin Taylor was also the beginning of the messianic process of redemption, which will be consummated at the end of the day. Who knows that? What point in the future? But Martin Taylor, when the Torah was given directly to the Jew, as always to the Jew, and the Jew was elevated, elected, and raised among the skinner of the parish, however, Martin Taylor indirectly was given to the entire world, the entire universe. And whenever this vision would be realized, the idea of Martin Taylor would find it. It is a piecemeal, slow movement, nevertheless it will be consummated in the Messianic era. Matidele is tied up to his body. Why is it tied up to his body? You couldn't imagine Matidele without David, without the Messianic vision. So then it would be just a private affair between the Almighty. And it's royal, but Martin Taylor was more than a private affair. It was also a universal affair. You know how I know that it was a universal affair? It was not just a private affair, which was reached in the hush of the night. But then it was trying to see one of it. Because the first time we saw the people who came for us. That the giving of the Torah was accounted by thunder and lightning, by a strong blast of the shofar. What for? But why was it necessary? Why was it necessary? To bring down and invite this entity. In order to inform the world that the Torah was healed. And he didn't hear the hush of the night, but he wired to it. And he told no one witnesses. Great miracle, then it would be just a private issue. But Almighty, by giving them all, wanted to deprive the world, the philosophy, the entire world, that the Torah is given and is ready, to redeem the world, to redeem the world. That's why it was given. Of course, the rulers are shattered later, the light was raised picked up. We were by another set of tablets. But it's a killing, the idea that Taylor was given, the beginning of the Torah was accompanied by great noise, and noise, the breath of the shofar, and the lightning, and the thunder, and the sound described, Kira Shema Ramami, and the Rakhavitin Ramayan Ramish. examination knew about the meaning of the law. They all came to Philip. They asked him, what happened? But Philip said, the Torah is being given to the people. But the people are being in that charge of the mentality, the ideas of the Torah. And it's morality. It's now to come alive, to other, no matter how long it will take. And that's exactly this mission is, is digestible with the idea of messianism, of Hafishia. It means it's not there in the Islamic tradition and words. And Dovid, not Dovid as a person, but Dovid as a symbol of the country. He's a descendant. Then he married millennia later. He will fulfill what was anticipated by God. And she would warn him on Mount Sinai when the law was given. That the law become the universal law. And that the law be accepted by everyone. The full realization of the ideal of Mount Sinai would be achieved only at the time of the disciples. The Torah was presented to the people in the anticipation of the King's Messiah. If we deny the arrival of the King's Messiah, we simply downgrade the purpose of Mount Sinai. And it is exactly what the Almighty told Moses, the listen to the Lord of the Amen, but be the mother of Peter the Gekorish, but not just for yourselves, Amen. But in order to carry the message of the God, and to live with God, and to change them, and to make our head, let's not fool ourselves. As far as science is concerned, we did not please and complete as much. Scientific progress of them. Not much. The Greeks have considered it much more than the Jews. And that is physics for them. So far, I don't like to this way. The problem is all bad. There are Jews, who would like to say that without us, MIT or foreign friends, the Jews are responsible. It's not good. No. The Jews have to be honest. They have to make great things on the earth. We don't know. And as far as morality in this world, or social institutions in this world, we are. That was dangerous. That's dangerous as far as the idea is to keep things work when they are met. Labor protection of labor, fairness, justice, and building, and so forth and on. All kinds of justice and welfare, like the idea of welfare, say, take the responsible individual, the patient health, the street one, or the unfortunate person, to lead the right thing, to perform the army. I mean, what modern etatism stands for. And the concept of power, and the Greeks had no idea. They had no word for it. That we test on the world. What is too bad? Well, wicked and bad, but it could be worse. This is the point. Announcing the birth of David.
the birth of the King's Messiah. And the birth of the King's Messiah means the realization of the old vision of the anticipation and the power of the Almighty. Some point in the future, the Torah will become the property of the mankind. And then the people will be like God, and more punishing people are for punishment. And that message, that new diamond, is just what the first one of it in three words, the Ishai Elohim. The first day of Shmuel, we read about nothing in it. When we ask ourselves, we ask that question of ourselves. Is it only for us, or is it for somebody else? We don't know what else. The answer is given the second day. No, it's not only for the Jews. The Jew of all, a special relationship with Almighty, but the Amman Nishmael, he's the pioneer, he played the trail, he paved the way for the final destination of the Jew to bring everybody, every religion, close to the Almighty. So that humanity as such should accept justice, this is not justice, but the kindness, present, present, and wish for it, is your nicest form of it. And the first day of truth is so many of you that I know. And that hope of the truth, and his anticipation of the final realization of the Messianic idea, is expressed woohoo. The Yishai is
Thank you.
the God is heavily emigrated from Yehuda, and his sons married pagan girls. But apparently, one in order to bring with them in all that one part, not just incidentally, in order to bring with them the Eretz Yisrael. One of the girls, which was two, often was blessed with this talent and virtue of Messianic death and Messianic sleep. And those virtues, those talents, those that he had faith, had to be passed on to David and through him to the King of Israel. That's why it was Mary Ruth. And she became, as often there is the use of Mary Ruth, she was Yimo Shel Moses, the mother of Kish. Without her contribution, so to say, to the personality of the Melech HaMashiach, I mean, no idea of kingship in the universe. Yimo Shel Moses. What did we possess? What were our virtues, which the Almighty considered indispensable if the King Messiah should emerge in Jewish history? We must possess those virtues, which we possess. What did you possess? What did you show? Yes, of course.
As the same note
the same semantics as the more explicit question which was introduced in the Of course, it didn't say it explicitly, yet the meaning of the words point to the same truth, namely, only a hero joins our strange and lovely being, along with it. It's amazing the word that they also have spoken at the door of the shape. At the time, the tension between Jew and non-Jew was most probably something unknown. The episode recorded in the scroll preceded Haman's attack, and indictment of Jewish people. Clearly, they have already a complete and pessimistic approach to the Jews, the hate of the Jews. It preceded Alexandrian hate literature about the Jews during the Second Council, Appio and so forth. It preceded the Gospel, this anti-Semitism and Jew hate. The world did not know of the uniqueness of the Jews. The so-called which we are accused of isolationism and egocentrism of being clannish. And yet, Boaz admired the fortitude of Ruth, who dared to join the strange people and the misunderstood people. That's strange. So what conclusion do we draw from that? Apparently the Jews were a strange people since the very birth of our nation. Apparently, even the Jews, the biblical Jews, not only the Jews of later period, but the biblical Jews of the period of the Shoftim, of the Georgian, it's like I said before, it was a dawn of Jewish history. Somehow killed the human unity. There is a gap separating the end from the Jewish world. There was no Yahweh in the literature, there was no Amen in the death. There was no Gospel, there was no father of the church, which later preached on anti-Semitism, hate of the Jews, and so forth. Bigotry of the Jews. And from that, yes. But still, the Jews don't know. We then at the time of God. It was so a great pagan girl that left her land. A native land is our family, and joined our community, he said he can only care. He spent there, he showed him Hashem saw it, and they put us a tremor. Showed Hashem put us in his heart a tremor, the Israel of Israel, Hashem was laughing, that a flipper, on the wood wings, you found refuge. The chaos was completely taken aback by the heroic act of the founder of Ruth of the Cloud, the German. Apparently, the care had to defy public resentment and identify himself with the unknown mysterious people. What was so mysterious about the Jews during the pagan times? What was so mysterious about the Jews? Yes, the mere fact that the Jews were not a nation. That he believed in a world invisible, incorporeal God. He was puzzling the pagans. They could tell us that. Moreover, the Jews served God by practicing morality, while the pagan worshiped his idol by giving gifts to them, by intoxicating himself with orgiastic pleasure,
And the Jew was disciplined.
The woman is there, one of the women, she joined the people which was alien to her and committed herself to a way of life which she did not understand. She came from a pagan background where how limited and how limited pleasure and other indulgence was a part of the worship, and she joined the religion which demands discipline, redemption of the biological code for classification. As a matter of fact, Judaic religion is a difficult one. But the mere particularly to the non-Jew, or to the non-observant Jew, the mere fact that the halakha interferes with every phase of human life, the Judaism is concerned with the fitness, is trivial, makes the commitment appear staggering and almost superhuman. The Gentile who so does assimilate this Jew cannot understand, grasp, for instance, the institution of Sabbath. He understands Sabbath the day of death, but the way the halakha has organized the Sabbath, he doesn't understand. How is it possible to abstain from turning on the light or carrying the handkerchief or the key to the house? It means nothing to us. It means nothing to us. But it means a great deal to the non-observant life. The Gentile was certainly failed to understand, for instance, that it's a law. And there were many questions which were answered to me. Is it almost it is so difficult to travel for days and without having access to food? It is self-evident that the laws pertaining to sex life are completely to the non-Jew. This business of separation period puzzles the non-Jew, or again, the non-observant Jew. That was not a question. They don't understand it. To convert to Judaism and to accept the non-inclusive, total Judaic commitment is a difficult performance. It borders on the heroic. That's why Boaz thanks us. Hold on, almost enthusiasm. Okay, she was told about the courageous act she committed by changing. Even in the earliest, during the judges' period, it was difficult to become a Jew, and also it meant to alienate the rest of the world. The destiny of a born Jew is a long labor accompanying the Jew since the times of it. In the world, fairness is a heroic action at two levels. At the level of observance and practical living, it makes life beautiful, but the person is not good, has not been disciplined. And as far as one's relationship, in the non-Jewish community is concerned. As a matter of fact, the Talmud and Shabbat service and the Jews answer responded not to the Nishma. The Malachim says, Kibbele Kea, Eise Gore, Yahimos, courageous people. Of course, the King Messiah apparently must possess a voice essence. Why? His elections must be endowed with a way glory, for he is coming in order not to accept the status quo. To accept the status quo would be no need for the Messiah. He needs to accept the status quo too.
in order to change the status quo, in order to revolutionize concepts and opinions, in order to transform the outlook of gender upon life, begin the science of the past.